we have discussed the three most common causes for low or challenged self-esteem. We have talked about our goal of being real and genuine and authentic. And now we're going to talk about the four tethers that can hold us back: impress, pretend, feel shame, and fear. The challenge is to simply be. To be real and genuine without the need to impress, the need to feel ashamed, the need to pretend, or the need to fear. It is to be transparent to these needs so that we bring who we really are to any given situation or challenge. Why is this so important? Imagine a hot air balloon tethered to the ground by four large ropes, each tied off to large wooden stakes. Can we feel the balloon struggling to lift off, wanting to soar but unable to do so because the tethers are holding it down? Can you feel the tension between the potential in the balloon and the restraint of the tethers? Finally, the ropes snap, and the balloon lifts up with ease higher and higher, and its occupants can view what appears to be the entire earth. So it is with our lives. The need to impress, pretend, feel ashamed and fear, keep us tethered to the ground, unable to succeed. These tethers rob us and those around us of the infinity of our intrinsic power. Our true potential lies idle, untapped, and unused. Oh, we may create money, but we will never be wealthy. We will always be wanting for more because the more is beyond the tethers and always will be. Until now, we may have believed that success is contingent on our ability to tenaciously cling to these tethers. Fake it till you make it. We may even fear that nothing would be left should we surrender. Some may have even built the very foundation of their existence, their image, their roles, their status, using these restrictive thought processes. Real power is being real and genuine and authentic. In doing so, our intrinsic power is released. Real power cannot be faked or manipulated. The surrender is real and the benefits beyond price. It is our goal to introduce you to the unknown, for when you become aware of the possibilities, the gains made while being tethered will seem puny and insignificant, regardless of how others may have perceived their magnitude. You will more clearly recognize why there has been a flame burning inside you, as discussed by Og, which has been passed from generations uncounted, a flame that has been a constant irritation to your spirit, to be better than you are, and you will be. And in so doing, find the intrinsic motivation to shed your tethers and soar. So first, let us clear up some common misperceptions about personal development. Personal development is not about spending endless hours in self-absorbed, self-centric examination. We cannot go down that black hole deep enough to find the answers, the why did this happen to me? And if we could, we would still need to make the decision to move forward. Personal development is about freeing ourselves and becoming whole and complete so that we can better serve others. It is about changing the focus from compensation to quality service. It is about coming to a task with all of your potential, all of your genius, all of your genuineness, all of your creativity, free from the need to impress and feel ashamed, pretend, and fear. It is about experiencing the profound joy that can come only through maximizing your true potential. At times we find ourselves being compensated in money for service, other times in long-lasting relationships, and other times with cleaner air and safer streets. But the focus will be bringing all of us to the service of others. That is where the joy is that can fill that awful void in our souls. So let's take on these words. Let's start with impress. If our thought processes think that we are not enough, that we do not stack up with expectations, we may be tempted to overcompensate by emphasizing the magnitude of our possessions and contributions, or the importance of our ideas and opinions. If we listen to these sabotaging thoughts and act accordingly, we may engage in vain attempts to secure attention, admiration, or respect, the very things we may think are missing. In Scroll 4, I Am Nature's Greatest Miracle, Og gives us some sage wisdom. He writes, "Nevermore will I be satisfied with yesterday's accomplishments, nor will I indulge any more in self-praise for deeds which in reality are too small to even acknowledge. I can accomplish far more than I have, and I will. For why should the miracle which produced me end with my birth? Why can I not extend that miracle to my deeds of today? I am nature's greatest miracle." In Scroll 8, Og wraps up this topic with the following. "Never will I proclaim my accomplishments. Let the world instead approach me with praise, and may I have the wisdom to receive it in humility." Consider in what ways we might attempt to impress others. Have we ever done this? If so, what was our primary motive? What impact might this motive have on another person? What impact might this have on our ability to intrinsically validate this person, to focus on them, listen to their door, step into their world? Let's take a look at the word pretend. When balanced, our thoughts will support us in living in the now. When out of balance, these thoughts struggle with the difference between the expectations created by our vivid visualizations and what is real in our life. This gap can be painful, especially when life falls short of the expectation. Of course, it always does. When this occurs, our thoughts may think that we are not enough, that we are less than. When this occurs, we may be tempted to exaggerate what is, making it seem bigger or more important than it is, in an attempt to make up the difference. Be careful what you say about your business and how you might leave the implicit idea that things are actually better than they are, because a person's mirror neurons can pick that up. Well, in Scroll 4, I'm Nature's Greatest Miracle, Og encourages us to be real. He writes, "Vain attempts to imitate others no longer will I make. Instead, I will place my uniqueness on display in the marketplace. I will proclaim it. Yea, I will sell it. I will begin now to accent my differences, hide my similarities, different from all others and proud of the difference. I'm nature's greatest miracle. I am rare, and there is value in all rarity. Therefore, I am valuable. We do not need to pretend that we are something that we are not. We are already nature's greatest miracle." Consider in what ways we may attempt to pretend. Have you ever attempted to pretend? If so, what was your primary motive? Why did you want to leave that impression? What impact might this motive have on another person? And again, what impact might this have on your attempts to intrinsically validate people? If in our own minds we're thinking about how we can leave this impression or pretend that things are better than they are, can you hear all this noise going on in our minds? When this noise is going on, what's the likelihood we'll be looking for the good in another person, what's important to them, and verbalizing it and listening for doors and stepping into their world and taking down their walls? Now let's take a look at shame. Feeling ashamed. You know, we've all made mistakes, missed the mark, fallen short of expectations. Some of these expectations were unrealistic, others realistic. What is what is. Og Mandino tells the following story about his life. I'm going to do my very best to narrate it for you. "I returned to the United States after the war had ended and discovered quickly that there wasn't much of an employment market for bombardiers with only a high school education. After many months of unemployment, checks, and painful searching, I finally secured a job selling life insurance and married the lady I had been dating before I went to war. The following 10 years were a living hell. For me, for her, and even for the lovely daughter we had been blessed with. It seemed that no matter how many hours of the day and night I worked, struggling to sell insurance, we drifted deeper and deeper into debt, and I began to do what so many frustrated individuals still do today, to hide from their problems. On the way home, after a long day of sales calls and canvassing for business, I would stop at a bar room and have a drink. After all, I deserved it, didn't I? Following such a tough day? Well, one drink soon became two. Two became four. Four became six. And finally, my wife and daughter, when they could no longer endure my behavior, left me. The following 2 years were no more than a hazy memory. I traveled the country in my old Ford doing any kind of odd job in order to earn enough money for another bottle of cheap wine, and I spent countless drunken nights in gutters, a sorry wretch of a human being in a living hell. Then one cold wintry morning in Cleveland, one I shall never forget, I almost took my life. I had passed the window of a dingy pawn shop and paused when I saw inside on a shelf a small handgun. Attached to the barrel was a yellow tag, $29. I reached into my pocket and recovered three $10 bills, all I had in the world, and I thought, there's the answer to all of my problems. I'll buy that gun, get a couple of bullets, and take them back to that dingy room where I'm staying. Then I'll put the bullets in the gun, put the gun to my head, and pull the trigger, and I'll never have to face that miserable failure in the mirror again. Og goes on. I don't know what happened next. I joke about it now and say that I was such a spineless individual that at that moment I couldn't even muster enough courage to do away with myself. In any event, I didn't buy the gun. As the snow was falling, I turned away from the pawn shop and commenced walking until I eventually found myself inside a public library. It was warm after the outside chills of November. I began wandering among the thousands of books until I found myself standing in front of the shelves containing scores of volumes on self-help and success and motivation. I selected several of them, went to a nearby table, and commenced reading, searching for some answers. Where had I gone wrong? Could I make it with just a high school education? Was there any hope for me? What about my drinking problem? Was it too late for me? Was I doomed now in a life of frustration, failure, and tears? We now know the answer. Og would become one of the greatest authors in all of history. His 10 years after this moment in time, and while serving as the editor of Success Magazine, Og would write the greatest salesman in the world. In Scroll 5, I will live this day as if it is my last. And speaking from experience, Og points the way. He writes, "Can sand flow upward in the hourglass? Will the sun rise where it sets and set where it rises? Can I relive the errors of yesterday and right them? Can I call back yesterday's wounds and make them whole? Can I become younger than yesterday? Can I take back the evil that was spoken, the blows that were struck, the pain that was caused? No. Yesterday is buried forever, and I will think of it no more. I will live this day as if it is my last." If you are experiencing shame, this can be a very private matter. If you're comfortable, consider the following. How long have you been holding on to this shame? How can shame make it difficult to accurately assess unconditionally accept and intrinsically value you? How can shame keep you from being present in the now, fully engaged, valuing others by stepping into their world? How can holding on to the past keep you from living in the present? Take courage from Og. It is never too late. The last of the four tethers is fear. The fear of which we speak is not created by a real or present danger. This fear exists only in our mind. Again, expectations appear to be very real in our mind. They are so real that when these expectations are threatened, our body reacts physiologically. As a result of this reaction at a cellular level, we may feel anxious and stressed and frustrated and even depressed. It is easy to misread these emotions as evidence that the threat is real, that there truly is pending doom. Thus, as stated by an unknown author, fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. This kind of fear is a reaction to an emotion created by a threat to an expectation. It's nothing more. Learn to let go of expectations and learn to love and live in the now, and this kind of fear will vanish. In Scroll 5, I will live this day as if it is my last. Og asks some poignant questions. He writes, should I concern myself over events that I may never witness? Should I torment myself with problems that may never come to pass? No. Tomorrow lies buried with yesterday, and I will think of it no more. I will live this day as if it is my last. Consider your current circumstances. Identify expectations that, if threatened, could cause this kind of fear. What would it be like to let go of these expectations and live life without fear? In past generations, it was a commonly held belief that fear, obligation, and perfection were healthy ways to motivate people. Now we know differently. However, many people grew up in this kind of environment where no matter how hard they worked, no matter how good they were, no matter how well they performed, it was never good enough. In this environment, driven by the unrealistic expectations of others, a person can be conditioned to think they're not enough. This conditioning can be extended to current life experiences. It is also possible that when someone excels, others may feel threatened or embarrassed. Some people may actually expect us to be less than we are. If we've been conditioned this way, we may overcompensate by projecting guilt and shame as a response to our success. And add to this fear that we could lose what we already have. In Scroll 4, I Am Nature's Greatest Miracle, Og asks us to step back and consider our uniqueness. He writes, since the beginning of time, never has there been another with my mind, with my heart, with my eyes, with my ears, my hands, my hair, my mouth. None came before. None that live today and none that come tomorrow can walk and talk and move and think exactly like me. All men are my brothers, yet I am different from each. I am a unique character. I am nature's greatest miracle. And then he goes on to write, as previously quoted, I am rare, and there is value in rarity. Therefore, I am valuable. In what ways can our environment impact our self-worth? Were you raised in a supportive and healthy environment? If not, what impact has this had on your life? Are your contributions, ideas, and opinions valued? How difficult is it to establish healthy boundaries? Do you ever feel obligated to sacrifice your time, energy, or even your well-being to serve others? It is not uncommon for people to experience emotional, physical, or even sexual abuse in childhood or adulthood. These traumatic events can cause people to question their worthiness and value. Abuse can be a real and present danger and should not be confused with fear that exists only in our mind. If you are struggling with self-esteem questions caused by past and especially current abuse, especially if your personal safety is at risk, seek immediate assistance from those with the knowledge, expertise, and power to assist you. You do not have to do this alone, and you are worth it. To be real and genuine and authentic, you want to let go of the need to impress, to over-amplify or exaggerate, to pretend, to leave people with an impression that's not really true, to feel ashamed, to carry those past errors around like a heavy burden around our neck, and fear, to have that false evidence appearing real and believing that there's something that's really serious that's going to happen, and have debilitating emotional feelings. Fear can be the result of real and present danger, in the example of abuse, but it can be from false evidence appearing real. You'll know. Neither event, fear, is the primary driver for the other three tethers. The need to impress, fear that we're not enough, pretend, fear that we're not enough, and shame, believing we're not enough.